As reports of new waves of the so-called corona pandemic continued to flood the media, we decided to travel to Germany's Black Forest to interview Dr. Stefan Lanka, a virologist who challenges the fundamental concepts of current virology. He argues that COVID-19 has never been isolated and has been constructed through computer models called in silico science. 30 years ago, Lanka stated that HIV had never been isolated and could not be the cause of AIDS. We were driven into the forest, guided by activist Linda Ketterer, to the hamlet of St. Peter. Our driver was French campaigner Jean Bitalin with his wife Cathy. And there we linked up with Benjamin Liloff from Denmark. Stefan, it's nearly 30 years since the late Hugh Christie, then editor of Continuum magazine, and I of Meditel Productions, interviewed you about the flawed science surrounding the identification of HIV and the PCR test. That was in London. First of all, what is your position now, 30 years on, about the existence of HIV?
Yeah, thank you, Sean, for all your dedication, all your work. You have been a milestone in my life, in my work, because I orientated myself in the very beginning. You have been on the scene before I came on the scene. And this is, we are learning from each other, you know, and what I know now is the result of all our interaction. Nobody knows everything, but I'm happy that I'm, of course, a little bit more clever than I was 30 years ago. 30 years ago, I believed that the people are acting intentionally, that at least some in the government knew that there is no virus, but they pretend that there's a virus in order to induce fear. This I really believe to the bottom of my heart, and I act accordingly. I was fighting. I was really a fighter, you know, till I came under pressure myself when I started a process against me in order to show and to prove that there is no measles virus. In 2014 it surfaced, and then I realized and I started to think when I saw, oh, how hard it is to name somebody a murderer or a criminal, right? And they named it to me, and all those people believing in the measles virus, you know, or in HIV, because, you know, if you look at my profile at Wikipedia, you see he's denying HIV, and then he denies measles and all the viruses and so on and so on. But the most important thing I understood, it's not betrayal, and it's even not a bad intention. It's the product of our history, and it is at least 2,500 years old, you know. The setting which we are not aware of, when our science was created, this was by Democritus 2,500 years ago. And from this time on, in science, we are only allowed to think in materialistic interactions of molecules to explain life on one side, and on the other side, disease. So we are forced into thinking into a false concept, into a materialistic carrier of a disease. And to put it to an end, you know, even I have answered to this, what I'm going to say right now to this statement is, the challenge what we all have is, if you are believing that your own body molecules are creating a terrorist organization inside your body, which is stronger than you, with the only intention to kill you, to eat you up from the butt to the brain, right? This calls cancer, this idea, you know, but the majority of the people believing into this concept. And if you believe this, that a terror regime is able to come into existing in your own body, and that you believe that this group is going to migrate inside your body, then you are believing in the concept of metastasis. And if you believe this, you are believing also in the idea of flying metastasis, called viruses, that you will spit it out. And that's easy like this. And the majority in our Western countries are believing into this concept. And it comes out of the history in various steps till we have the model from today. And this is one of the most important things I learned in those 30 years. And the other important thing is I learned how biology works in reality. What matters at the end? What is the cause of diseases, and how to treat, how to prevent, and how to act in a way that the body is reaching his a healthy state again.
Tell me, you mentioned measles. Can you describe in a nutshell your achievement to do with whether or not the measles virus exists?
Well, look, it's easy. It became clear in Germany that they want to get a law that people and children need to be vaccinated against measles. And it happened that I ran into a federal minister of health, of justice, a lady. And I met her in the village at Lake Constance, where I've born and where I'm living again. And later she rang me and said me, look, Mr. Lanka, do you have some latest arguments against the measles virus? Not the one which you achieved several years before. I need latest information, latest proof that the health authorities do not have a scientific proof for the existence of this virus. I need it, please, because I want to prevent this obligatory measles vaccination. And this is how I started. I was thinking, how could I do it? And with a lot of experience in the juridical system, I knew that in the penalty law, I have no chance, because all those state lawyers, they are obliged to follow the Minister of Justice. They are not free. Probably when they do a fart or, you know, what kind of, you know, paper they use, but what they are doing and what they are writing, what kind of decisions they do, they are not free. And so I was thinking how to get it into the civil law, and that was the idea to offer €100,000 for the one who is able to come up with scientific publications of the Robert Koch Institute. This is the German health authority who by law are obliged to do research on every kind of infectious disease, so the measles virus. And I knew that they have no single paper. They just claim and some photos on the internet, but they have no science behind this. And this I knew. But anyway, I lost the first round in this trial, but on the high court level, I won. But I was not telling to the mass media and what not telling to the court that one of the six papers presented as a proof for the measles virus is the very base of all virology. So this sentence took away the scientific base of the whole field of virology, because it says none of the six papers have a proof for the existence of a virus. And therefore, this sentence is the definitive end of all virology. And this is now the time where I'll go public with this argument. So this is going to happen the next days, and you will see the impact.
What is in silico science?
It means inside a PC, inside a computer, to calculate. It's called bioinformatics.
And so how does that relate to COVID-19?
This relates to the whole field of virology. And to make the story a little bit longer, you should know that the old virology gave up themselves in 1952. Till 1952, a virus was considered to be a toxic protein with the capability of self-replication. So the proteins themselves were considered to be the genetic material. But then there were some experiments in 52, and they showed a protein can only be replicated when there is a nucleic acid as a catalysator, right? And from this time on, they believed that nucleic acid is the genetic material we need. When in our scientific thinking, there is no field, no consciousness which creates life, then we need an easy to going map. We need a plan how out of the molecules, you know, one tree comes, a human being or an elephant. There we are forced to think that there is a plan directing the molecules either to get into a tree or in a human being. And this is it. But it's not, there is nothing like this. But the geneticists believing, and they were forced to think in a genetic material, and they believed it's in the DNS, right? Or DNA, right? And what they did when they could not sequence the strands, what happened? It was Craig Venter who came it came to his mind, look, if we cannot sequence the long pieces of the chromosome, so let's cut it down in very short pieces called shotgun cloning to multiply it and then to sequence a huge amount of very small pieces of nucleic acid and then to read it and then put it into our computer programs and do an assembly where we have overlying molecules and then look, our chromosome should look like this and then where could we align our matches to this. And so they created our chromosomes, which they published. It's a pure mental product and pure virologists, they are doing the same.
So are you saying that COVID-19 is a construct?
A complete construct, and it's easy to see. There is one paper from Shanghai, from Professor Cheng, and the first author is Fan Wu. And this was published on the 3rd of February in 2020. The preliminary sequence was published online on the 10th of January for the virologists to prove, okay, we are the first, we have produced the viral genome. And the most important thing is to know, from the nucleic acid which they had in their hand, they could not create a genome. So they multiplied it with PCR in such a dirty way, with a lot of cycles, and a lot of cycles always mean dirty. A lot of new sequences are produced, which in reality are not there. And with this artificially produced nucleic acid, even then they could not come up with a genome. So they took some sequences, made this assembly, some of them fit here, some of them fit there. And so then we put all those things to a given genome of a coronavirus. And even then the thing was not ready. And the second step, what they are doing, they are producing artificially short sequences of nucleic acid called primer, used in the PCR, and they construct in such a high number that the sequences artificially created on their own are 20% of the genome, right? And then only after this, what they are calling deep metagenomic sequencing, they come up with a genome. So to put it short, what they have in reality in their test tubes, right, they have nothing. Then they multiply in a very dirty way with PCR. Then they have no genome. And then they did a second round. And this second round of multiplication is termed deep metagenomic sequencing. And only then they came up with a product which is just built in a PC, in a computer. And this is why it's called in silico.
How is it, Stefan, that the whole virological establishment have got it so wrong?
Yeah, okay. I said that it was my greatest error. I damaged myself. I damaged the movement, because how could you discuss and with somebody when you say you are criminal and above you are stupid? But when I came into history, where do the concepts are coming from? And especially from the year 2000 on, I learned through this Dr. Hammer what are the real causes of disease, and it was absolutely sure. So I was really strong to answer all my open questions which I had till the year 2000, right? And so from then on, it was clear. And then this enabled me to go into the history of humankind, of science, to see where the concepts we have now do arise from. And in virology, it's very easy. In 52, the old virology gave up themselves because they saw, protein always need a nucleic acid as a catalysator to be reproduced. And then they said, a virus must be a piece of genetic material. So from 54 on, we had a new idea till today that the virus is a piece of nucleic acid. And what they really had in their hand were a kind of mini spores called bacteriophages. Bacteria are going to produce when bacteria can't cope with the situation and have no time to build the real bigger spores, which can transform themselves immediately and quick back into bacteria. So if bacteria do not have time to build the real spores because their life situation is threatened so quick, they have no time to build those spores, they immediately transform their whole biochemistry, their whole nucleic acid, in pieces of nucleic acid of a given size with an envelope. And these mini spores have their own metabolism and are growing slowly bigger again. These findings, it's called now giant viruses. And 30 years ago, I found a structure out of the sea which is built like a bacteriophage with a much larger genetic material, also circular closed, also DNA, and I found it. And I thought, oh, this is a harmless virus because the algae was producing this mini spore and not doing harm. So this was when I entered into the field of virology, because I was sure, okay, I have a harmless virus, which was a misconception of my thing. It's not a virus, it's a mini spore. And at this time I was believing into virology. And then it was an Austrian professor who warned me not to tell the student that there's a dangerous virus around, because fear itself, it's maybe dangerous. So, and he asked me to check the evidence. And this is when I ran into this field. And then very quickly into you.
If you are right, is there any way a vaccination could protect us from so-called COVID-19?
No. This question needs two answers. The whole concept of virology is wrong. So they use endogenous sequences out of human beings, out of what they are using in the test tubes. They only construct mentally a virus, right? In silicio. So, and the other side, a vaccine, it's given on the basis that we have an immune system that will get a toxin of disease called virus, and that our body is doing an antitoxin, the antibody. And this is the old belief that we are becoming ill because of toxins of disease called viruses. And in this kind of thinking, the whole world is forced into it. And we have a real great German thinker, his name is Eugen Rosenstock, you see, and he published in 1929 in his book Sociology, he published that they are doing the wrong science. The way they are doing science, they are not able to detect something new, no, even not a development. And they are doing the wrong cancer research based on the old ideas on Pasteur of rabies, of Pasteur, as would it be rabies. That was a double critique on cancer, which is built on the idea of infectious diseases, that nucleic acid can run out of control. And that our own nucleic acid sometimes turns mutation, more mutation, and all of a sudden there's a virus. And this is something very strange. But this kind of thinking, we are as a society forced into this thinking, because spirituality, consciousness, that the world may act on you, it's not allowed to be dealt with in science.
Two more questions. How do you explain the very serious symptoms like lack of oxygen, inability to breathe, high fever associated with COVID-19?
Yeah, like we explained before. I mean, you have now to distinguish between the symptoms those poor people get when they really believe that something went wrong, get into the hospital and get tested. I lost my own cousin a year ago because he was a man from 120 kilogram, very strong. He get a high rhythm of the right heart, and he had lack of oxygen. Immediately sent to the hospital, tested positive, and what they did, they
intubated.
But what this means, you'll get a huge amount of morphine, that your own muscles are not working against the machine. And he was so strong, it was two less of morphine So he worked against the machine. And then they added much more, and not knowing that if your body is acid due to stress, due to antibiotics, I mean, in the same moment, you'll get all antiviral medication, which killed all those pure HIV people, you know. And you'll get this. You are highly intoxified from the first moment you'll get to the hospital. And then the morphine in an acid body turns into apomorphine. And this is causing vomiting. This is what the police is using, you know, when they want to stop the protesters on the street. All of them are vomiting. And so you not only you're cramping against the machine, you are vomiting in your tubes. And this is, you know, into patients, very, very dangerous, right? So, but the real causes of fever are psychosomatic, when you ended with a certain trauma, and the signals where you can see on the cortex, those programs give the high fever. Programs which you see the signals in the steam brain, all related to digestion, always give only a low fever, right?
The brain stem.
The brain stem, yeah, those programs where you can see the signals in the brain stem, all related to digestion. Now, when they go into the healing, you have only a high, a low fever, right? So in this new body of understanding, we'll have for every symptom an explanation, right? And also what they call long COVID. It's sure when you are traumatized in the hospital, as long your trauma is lasting, as long the healing process is going on, you know? And this corresponds very easily. And long COVID is what is happening now. And look, also when you are getting out of a vaccination center, and before you have been months in a deep shock that there are some strange people without no mask, they trying to want to infect the other ones, and you are really afraid. And there are people, you see them also here in the Black Forest. They walk with the mask, they turn around, you know, if you walk, and they're looking angry because you're probably a viral bomb. And when they got finally their shot, they are really crying, happy me, finally I got the shot, you know. And then after 3 weeks, they get ill. Because the mechanism of being under this trauma for long weeks or months automatically is showing some signals inside your body. This is called psychosomatic, I mean, and it's there.
What would you like to see happen? Are you optimistic or pessimistic about the future?
I'm absolutely optimistic for several reasons. Look, I know the details how the German professor Christian Drosten could misuse a local panic in Wuhan to make a global panic. Even before the Chinese, we are saying, look, we have a bacterium, we have a fungi, or we have a virus as a cause of this disease. He created PCR test. And on 10th of January, when this sequence was published on an internet site where virologists could see that, he sent the ready produced primers already all over the world. Whereas the Chinese government showed from the 1st of December 2019 till the 20th of January 2020, we have altogether 49 cases with severe lung condition, pneumonia. 49 cases. And they locked down every family member, every friend, every work colleague, every member of the hospital being in contact with them. And they watched them carefully, and none of them turned ill. And so what they are truly communicated to the public, to the WHO, and said, look, none of them were infecting somebody else. Therefore, we can continue the planning of our New Year's Eve party on 25th of January, right? And because none of them were infecting another person. So, and then the Drosten test was separated, and a medical doctor known in China, he came by train from South China, made a press conference at noon on 20th of January 2020 in Wuhan, and said, the Chinese government is lying. Here I have the proof. I have two patients, they have not been in Wuhan, and they are testing positive for this virus. with a test which was prefabricated even before the Chinese were saying what kind of bug we have, what kind of virus, what kind of sequence. And this created the big, big panic, the global panic. This was created by Drosten, Professor Drosten from Berlin. But what happened? The Chinese government then was forced to make a hard lockdown. The people were really crazy. And another detail to be known, in China, less people are able to go into the hospital or to see a medical doctor. Less than in the United States. There is, you know, only when there is a pandemic, they are allowed to go into the hospital to get treatment, to get tested. And so everybody with, of course, asthma, with bronchitis, lung pneumonia, every, you know, headache, I don't know what, every, they rushed into the hospitals. And that's in China. And then a medical doctor saying the Chinese government is lying. You must imagine, they lost the faith in the general public. So the panic went up and they had to act a hard lockdown. The military was outside. Everybody was told to get shot when they move out of the house. So what they had to do for a month, they just pulled meat, vegetables, toilet paper, rice in front of the houses with garbage wagons. They had no time to pack and nothing because it was all in panic. Read the book Wuhan Diary of Fang Fang. Read this, then you'll see it, what happened there in reality. But what happened? This hard lockdown was copied here first by the weak Italian president who lost his party but won again, then the gay in president in Austria, then our gay health minister, and everybody was playing the strong man. And this is how it shook up. And what happened then? The first point, what makes me optimistic. Everybody stood at home. It was prolonged Christmas and Easter. The sky clear, highways free, peace and freedom. Everybody was focused on himself, on his family. Everybody enjoyed. But what happened, that this year, this fear of hundreds of years, thousands of years in front of plagues, blah, 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 this was switched off because you just stay at home. A vaccine is coming to be there in future. We have the mask. And so we must not be afraid, you know? And this fear was stopped by the hard lockdown. And the result is, was a protest movement, which was from the very beginning so strong in so high numbers than never before. All other protest movement in our history, they started from a small number, higher, 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 over a long time. But in Corona, it was a big number of people which were there on the streets. And what you saw on the street is only the visible tip of an iceberg. A lot of people who can't, you know, be known by their bosses, hospitals where they are working, that they were anti-vaxxers or anti-corona, but still in their heart and at home. So we have near a majority which is acting. And this is one of the point I'm optimistic. And the other one is, corona, it's defined because as an open syndrome. So every disease, every symptom, of course, the toxicity of the nanoparticles in the vaccines, of course, all psychosomatic things, what's going on, it's now defined as COVID. So the COVID balloon, it's getting bigger and bigger, and it's going to explode on its own because we had a huge shift of money inside medicine and a huge shift of power inside medicine. And now every stupid medical doctor opening a COVID office gets 10 times more money for 20 times less work, you know. And so the outside, from inside the medicine, a lot of resistance is coming, which automatically surfacing much, much more contradiction than they are doing at the moment. And the third point is the argument that they are anti-scientific because they never carried out a control experiment. And science is only science when you documented the control experiments. And this in all the field virology, in all the steps what they're doing, but especially the essential step when creating in a computer a sequence and say there's a genetic sequence, they lacked to do the control experiments to use normal nucleic acid from healthy people to exclude that not the technique they're using is producing the sequence. And this control experiments we carried out, and we have the definite proof that we'll get exactly the same results they are doing with absolutely healthy nucleic acid from human beings. And this is there. And this is definitely the final point where we disprove the whole virology, because not only in coronavirus, they are all doing this in the same way, you know. And with this argument that they are not published control experiments, it's in the same time proven that they are anti-scientific. And now the central point, all the laws regulating those corona measurements, mask, not going out, being vaccinated, whatsoever, they are all legalized by the law of infectious disease. But the law of infectious disease has in paragraph one the order that everything has to be carried out on a scientific level. And the scientific level is written down. What are the rules of science? To try to disprove yourself, to publish that you tried and you could not disprove. So you have to publish the control experiments, and this hasn't been done. That means the law of infectious diseases is without any power to nobody. And that's the message. And therefore, I'm sure, because this word is now going to be spread, these letters to our health authority and then to all countries is going to be spread. Everybody can use this letter and say, no, I must not wear a mask. It's anti-scientific. It's disproven. All those means you are applying up on me, on the society, are illegal because they are anti-scientific. And that's the message. Illegal because they are anti-scientific. Point.